scripture reading this morning comes from John's Gospel, chapter 20. John chapter 20, we'll read the first 18 verses. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where he has put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them I'm going up to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Then she told them what he had said to her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is a traditional liturgical greeting for Easter morning. I like it. I'm reminded each time I say it of the times I've said it before. Repeating this litany reminds me of the connection we bear as a people, that connection is established by the fact and sustained by the fact that Christ the Lord is risen. Come what may, differences, transitions, change, and challenge, nothing can disrupt the fellowship we have with one another, because it is the resurrection that gives us our shared identity as the resurrection people. I like the chorus because it is succinct, getting to the heart of our faith. This is our story. The rest, well, that's commentary and application of this profound mystery. So say it with me this morning, one more time. Hallelujah, Christ the Lord is risen. If you didn't say it with me, say it with me one more time. Hallelujah,
Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. If there is any other proclamation that comes close to the heart of the mystery of Easter, it may be Mary's words in this morning's gospel reading. Listen to the poignant message that Mary proclaimed. "I've seen the Lord." Mary's Easter message, like our traditional liturgical greeting, is succinct. The difference is that it cannot be confused in any way with what might be the creed of the church. Mary simply tells her story, what she has experienced. She says in no uncertain terms that the fact that Christ is risen is something that touched her personal experience. Resurrection is not a third-person confession, but a first-person testimony. What we need to hear is that the resurrection is a truth we are invited to experience personally and which we are called to share openly. As we enter into the conversation with Mary, if she were here this morning, she may ask us this question: have you seen the Lord? Or even more to the point, where have you seen the Lord? If we are to proclaim the resurrection as Mary did, we must do more than repeat what we've heard or what we've learned. To proclaim the resurrection is to enter into the story that is central to our faith by being able to say it and how it has touched and transformed our lives. To be able to give voice to the places we have seen the Lord. This should be not only our Easter proclamation, but the central proclamation of all our worship. Can you imagine the joy and wonder with which Mary's proclamation was made? I have seen the Lord. When this becomes our personal proclamation, our worship will be filled with celebration, joy, and wonder. But how can we enter into this story? How can Easter resurrection become more than a statement of our faith? How can it be our story? How can our personal Easter proclamation become, I have seen the Lord? It may be a matter of knowing where to look. Like Mary, we may be inclined to start looking for Christ wherever we last saw him. In John's Gospel account, Mary went to the tomb alone. John does not give us any insight into Mary's agenda. John makes no mention of her going there to anoint the body of Christ, just that she went to the tomb while it was still dark. Mary, in her despairing grief, did the only thing she knew to do. Where had she always turned for comfort, for answers, for hope? Experience and faith had taught her that in Christ she could find whatever solace her soul might need. Likewise, we might begin by looking for Christ where we last saw him, or where others have told us they have seen him. We have become conditioned to return to the traditions of our faith, the disciplines of prayer and worship, places where our spiritual eyes have been opened and we've experienced an encounter with the presence of the Lord. Mary went to the tomb of Jesus looking for comfort and to honor the memory that remained in her heart and mind. She went to the tomb to find peace. Hers was a devotion that would not be stopped by death, but the tomb was empty. Remember, she doesn't know the rest of the story at this point. The empty tomb at that point meant just that for Mary. Emptiness. More emptiness poured into her already empty heart. Emptiness echoing the emptiness of her hope. She was shocked. So she turned to the only community that might be of comfort, her friends. Those who had shared her love and devotion for Christ. Those who had shared her hope. Those who had shared her dismay and despair at the crucifixion. Mary turned to the other disciples of Jesus. Together, they returned to the tomb to find it just as Mary had reported. Peter, the other disciple, the one who outran Peter and arrived at the tomb first, investigated the situation. Then, they walked away, leaving the empty tomb an open case, but not Mary. Mary remained behind, bending down to examine the emptiness. What could be found in that emptiness? What answers could be found by the questions left lying at the end of an empty tomb? The first place we might look if we want to see Jesus is the last place we saw him. If that comes up empty, and sometimes it does, the next place we might look is into that emptiness. As our souls begin to reflect the emptiness is echoing before us, we are then prepared to see Christ. Watching Mary in the early morning hours, we learn that if we come up empty looking for Jesus, we might want to take a closer look into the empty places that confuse and haunt us. Where do we see signs of abiding determination in the face of certain defeat, gentleness rising from the oppression and hate around us, hope staring down the glare of defeat, new life stepping boldly from the confines of all that would snuff it out? If we refuse to walk away, lingering and peering into the empty places more intently, we may be able to proclaim with Mary, "I have seen the Lord." Easter resurrection insists that the ways of love will win over the ways of hate. Easter resurrection confirms that truth of kindness can be heard over the din of ruthless, callous, and vindictive rhetoric. Easter resurrection gives us witness to the fact that there is another way of being in the world, a way of being that is shaped by the risen Lord, that embodies everything that is life-giving, a way of being that is so countercultural, so demonstrative of mercy, that when you see it, you can only say, "I've seen the Lord." Mary would tell us that if we want to see the Lord, we would have to learn to watch for Him in unexpected places and unexpected faces. Remember, at this point, the empty tomb still only meant more emptiness for Mary. She didn't know what to expect next, but whatever she expected to see, she didn't expect to see her Lord. She was prepared to see a gardener. After all, she was in a garden. That might have been pretty much what she was expecting to see. She had mistaken what she actually saw for what she expected to see. If we want to see the Lord, we have to look in unexpected places and in unexpected faces. We have to look for Him in the face of the suffering and in the hands of the helpers. Are you able to see the Lord in unexpected places? If we want to see the Lord, we have to look in the places He promised we would find Him. As we were reminded this morning in the sunrise service earlier, Jesus goes before us in places of joy, in hard times, and in sickness. It is the Lord we are seeing when we see peace coming from places of conflict, when we see doubt being sustained by an abiding faith. These are our Galilees. Jesus goes before Him. We will see Him there. Take a look around this morning. Look around the sanctuary. Take in all the sights, all the sounds, the depths of fellowship and joy that we share as the resurrection people. Consider the bread and the cup that we are about to lift up. What do you see? The Lord was made known to the disciples on the road to Emmaus in the breaking of the bread. Jesus promised that He would be with us where two or three are gathered in His name. Easter is a time not only to hear Mary's proclamation, it is a time to join her in proclaiming that message. In the glory of this resurrection morning, and with the dawning of each new day, let us say with Mary, "I too have seen the Lord."